Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Impact Vest podcast, transformative global innovation in a new era of impact. I'm Aisha Williams, the founder and CEO of Impact Vest, and along with our guest host, we aim to inspire and motivate towards collective positive global impact to solve our world's most pressing challenges in sustainability. With each episode, we will engage in insightful conversations with global changemakers, visionaries, and sustainability activists who wish to build a more sustainable and resilient future. Join us now as we create the future of impact.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to our podcast. I'm Aisha Williams, the founder and CEO of Impact Vest, and I am here today with Hakeem Jimo, who is a vegan entrepreneur and the founder of Veggie Victory, which is Nigeria's pioneer plant-based food tech company. And he's also an Impact Vest portfolio company and a member of our Impact Vest Alliance. Thank you, Hakeem, for joining us today for our podcast. It's really a pleasure to have you on today.
Yeah. Hi, Aisha. And thank you for having me here. Hi, everybody.
So it would be great to learn a bit more about your background and the inspiration behind founding Veggie Victory.
Oh, yeah. It goes back to where I grew up, and that was Northern Germany, actually. So I'm my mother is German, my father is Nigerian, but I was born, grew up in Germany. That was in the 80s, 90s, already a couple of funny food stories came up. Maybe some of you remember the mad cow disease and foot and claw pest. And something was telling me, I grew up on the countryside, on a farm actually, but it was a crop farm. And I said, there's something wrong here. But I had no idea of any vegetarian or vegan concept. It came later at the university in Hamburg. Suddenly there was the alternative meal in the cafeteria. And then I met some people. Yeah, and I carried that to West Africa, where I moved in 2000. By then, I was a vegetarian. Nobody was talking about vegan. You know, I was still vegetarian. And then ultimately in 2013, that's almost now 10 years ago, I started with my co-founder, Veggie Victory, as a vegan restaurant, the first vegan restaurant and technically also vegetarian restaurant. There was no vegetarian restaurant, no vegan restaurant. We actually had to call it vegetarian so people had an idea what it is. They had no idea what veganism is. So it started as a restaurant, really, because we wanted to do something for ourselves. We couldn't eat the food we wanted to eat, like Nigerian food, but veganized. We have really fantastic Nigerian meals, the flavors, but everything is meat infused or crayfish, and no really vegan options. Of course, that's when we can go deeper. Many African dishes are by default plant-based, like beans and plantain. But once you go into the stews, you know, there's always something in it. And that is what triggered it. And then Veggie Victory was born in 2013. And then we realized, oh, we need more products here, hardly any products. And then we developed Lichons, and it's the first commercially based meat substitute Yeah, and here we are. And now
yeah, and I imagine going from launching a restaurant to products was a leap there, right? And so how did you find the transition from running a restaurant to launching B-Chunks and being able to focus on products that are meat alternatives, right? And really addressing the lack of protein, right? This protein deficiency that you speak about on the African continent, right? And so what was that transition for you?
Yes, like I think often in an entrepreneurial journey, you don't really know what's coming up in a few years. So Veggie Victory as the vegan restaurant, it wasn't really a business model designed to make a startup. And I pretty quickly knew restaurants to scale, that is tricky. And that was really not the intention. It was really like, we are mission-driven. I want to eat the food I like, you know, like suya. It's kind of Nigerian barbecue delicacy and so many fantastic things. But there were no options for vegan. And I said, there has to be. In a city with 25 million people, in a country of 200 million and doubling in the next 20 years, there has to be somebody like me, like us. Even if it's the returnees or, and then quickly we realized there are lots of people that want to eat healthier and health is the main driver. And then the story became bigger than, shall we, at some point we were thinking, should we open more restaurants? But that is one business model, you know, quite tricky in a country with a lot of infrastructural challenges. You have to rent places and then electricity and everything. Or is there maybe a need of products? And that was the decision was quite quickly, there are no products. Because in the restaurant, we noticed even to get a plant-based burger patty was a challenge. Sometimes we saw some products coming from abroad, but then it stopped for months. And it was not really the right products for the Nigerian way of cooking, African way, like in stews. I always say we're not really a burger land here, you know, so we need other forms of meat substitutes. Yeah, and then that idea was born, and it took us another couple of years to develop the product, get it certified, and then it became from a restaurant business to a product company. So that was a quite big step, and at that point I could also tell this is more than just a hobby business, you know, the restaurant where I'm eating myself. I always said, you know, even if I'm the only customer there, I'm fine, you know. But with the product company, you could tell there's much more opportunities. There are investment possibilities, you know, scaling. So, and then it eventually became a full-time job and mission.
Yes, and to be able to really address the need for healthy lifestyles and plant-based lifestyles, right, that you are really making the connection between having a more plant-based diet and having a healthier lifestyle and being able to produce the products that lead to the healthier lifestyles that we need, right, to build a more sustainable future. And how do you see V-Chunks really wanting to address this need, not only in Nigeria, but across the African continent? Do you feel like people are ready for meat alternatives in terms of their daily diets and cuisines? What do you think is needed to really make the full transition to a plant-based diet?
Yes, and I think the story even gets bigger. You know, it's from a personal need to, you see there are some other people that want to have a healthier lifestyle. You know, a lot of things have changed in the last couple of decades. The people want to eat healthier, and then also the environmental impact, which is, I think most of us have not really understood it at this point. You know, we're talking about solar energy, electrical vehicles, but it is actually the food that is the by far most critical component if we want to have a fighting chance saving this planet. You know, I think I also speak to lots of people, investors, it is not yet on their radar. Impact investors, international organizations, they're just about to understand that if we continue this unhealthy planet aggressively diet, then we don't even stand a chance. It's not about saving energy or it's everything comes together. But if we leave out the food aspect, it's like the war is over before it has started. So coming to your question, there's a lot of awareness needed. I think we have a good chance because luckily the health is a big part of that. People realize that their personal health, individual health is important. I think also with the COVID, everybody has understood it. And people make the connection to the food they eat. You know, it's basic things I think everybody knows, but we're not living like that. It's a big change from an animal-based diet to a more plant-based diet. And there are a lot of steps in between. We don't need to become all vegans at once, but definitely it's about reducing animal protein. And in Africa in particular, preventing, because if this continent is exploding in terms of population, we can't just continue the same mistakes like in the developed world. So huge opportunities, and would need much more firepower, more companies, innovations, and then definitely also policy change, healthier school meals. It's a lot. I can go on for hours with that.
It is often a very multi-stakeholder conversation when we're speaking about all of the changes that we need in sustainability and impact to really make the impact that is needed to build a more sustainable future, to be able to really see all of the different verticals and opportunities that are there in terms of food production, agriculture, that we can make as investors, as other stakeholders, to be able to support many different entrepreneurs in this space. And you brought up policy, which I think is very interesting, because you were speaking about having to certify the chunks. And how was your experience actually working with the policymakers when you were launching V-Chunks? Do you think that it needs to be more support in that space? Or what would you need as an entrepreneur to be able to speak to the policymakers in terms of either launching your products faster or being able to receive the certifications quicker, right? Is there anything that you would need from the policymakers in that space that you think is needed in the plant-based space?
Well, we are a startup and we are scaling. And so it means also we have to pick our battles. You know, policy, politics is a big thing here in Africa. And I guess everywhere around the world, I'm speaking to colleagues in Europe. The European Union is also a beast. You know, it's not there that you go there and everybody is you're running into open doors. And when you're coming with your plant-based message, not at all. Same in America. There's a lot of resistance. You know, I think it's safe to say big food. And there are lots of interest, billions of dollars. And you're not going to change the system without stepping on some people's toes. Africa, in a way, it's easier. In another way, it's more difficult. One thing that is good, it's we don't have that subsidies, like billions of dollars into animal factory farming. We don't have that. At the same time, we don't have this support or any. It's not really only alternative protein companies. The private sector in general has a tough stand here in Africa. The infrastructure is lacking, and we know we're basically on our own. We can't wait for the government. There's no financial infrastructure. Getting loans is almost impossible with interest rates over 20%. So it's very business unfriendly. I believe that's where the chance and the future opportunities are. So we are growing in the private sector directly with customers. So we're not waiting for any government contract where you have to lobby for years and then you waste your time. But we are directly going to the consumers because the people in Africa, they need solutions, you know, and If you're struggling with an inadequate health infrastructure, no, very few hospitals, too expensive, but people have the same lifestyle diseases like anywhere else, they need solutions. So we see response there. Of course, change is always, everybody wishes it would be faster, but it's doable. So that's where we are. And then more attention is coming. There are some international organizations like ProVeg that is trying to influence the policy. You know, that is then really going to the government and state, federal, talking to health ministers. Yeah, because it's a connected world. If, for example, if the World Food Program is having a mandate in Africa or in Nigeria, why can't we go there and say, okay, what about going more plant-based? And even there, you can see a lot of interest already, you know? Yeah, let me leave it at that point. But lots of opportunities working directly with end consumers. And I think that's where the traction is. And then at some point, definitely, we have to face the government. I mean, the climate summit was just in Egypt. I think if we want to have institutional change, of course, you need to have a policy change.
Right. And the policy changes are really only going to come into effect by...
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Maybe pressure from the consumer side. And so kind of starting from the end consumer and the demand that comes from the consumer for plant-based products and meat alternatives will then cause changes in policy, right? And starting with the end consumer, what has been the feedback? You've had incredible traction with Veggie Victory. And what has been some of the feedback that you've looked at and has really surprised you or kind of taken you on kind of a different product path, right? Because that always happens. We launch into the market, and then the market gives us feedback that we didn't expect. And I'm curious about the end consumers and any pivots that you've had to take or any comments that they've made that you said, well, this is interesting to be able to implement into V-Chunks as a product.
Yes, I think I can really say I love working in this market. I wouldn't choose another one. It's the key market of the future. You have to see Nigeria in perspective. We are growing to 400 million people in 20 years. By the end of the century, it's projected that we are a billion people. So we are in the top league of populated nations. So it's not like you are in one small country. Here it's really impact, you know. And I always say, you know, it's great if in the Western world we are reducing animal meat, and even there it's a struggle. But the real challenge is going to be in countries like China, India, and Nigeria, because if people start eating meat, even if you reduce it in the developed world by 1%, you're not making it. Numbers are simply against you. So why I love working here in this market is people are really still curious. You know, it's I came across a report from China. It said 40% of the Chinese population don't know about meat alternatives. And it's exactly the same in Africa. So it's not like you're in America and people are saying, I don't really want to eat a Beyond Meat burger. It doesn't have the same color. And the shrimps don't have the same rose color. And people here are actually really open, and they can't believe. So I always love this meeting customers, and they say, oh no, you can't tell me that this is not meat. It's meat. What meat is it? You know, and that brings always a smile on my face. And I can see people are really looking for new ways. So it's more about bringing it out, because reaching the consumers in Africa, it's not easy. You know, there are no distribution, very fragmented distribution channels. And the awareness thing. But I think it's very rewarding. And I actually believe that it's probably the future market of alternative proteins, because we have, people are not yet, I sometimes say, spoiled, as in the developed world. They are probably ready to make that leapfrog from eating not much animal protein, but then jumping directly to plant-based protein, similar to telephone. So we didn't have many landlines, so we immediately jumped to mobile phones. So I think we can ultimately have a higher market share for alternative proteins than in the developed world.
Yes, and I agree. I do believe that the future of alternative proteins is on the African continent, right? Because it's where we have the highest need for protein alternatives, and a real kind of need for health, really the benefits of a plant-based diet, right? And this connection between a healthier lifestyle and a plant-based lifestyle, I find very interesting, because we're not only talking about the alternative proteins industry, we're also speaking about the health industry. So have you been able to speak with any different companies in the health industry and maybe speak to them about the benefits that they see and partnering with you in terms of offering plant-based products and alternative protein products?
I think we are still very at the beginning of transforming the society here. You know, obviously, there are lots of challenges here in on the continent, and it's not only health, you know, it's often just to even feed people, you know, even huge organizations, like I mentioned, the World Food Program, they were more for a couple of past the decades, more thinking about giving enough calories to people. And now it's also considering, yeah, what about the right nutrients? You know, that is also a new shift. So the food tech startups, I think we also have to see our influence at this point, you know. Well, what should I say? It's lots of challenges. The corporates, I think people are just realizing how important it is to have a healthy populace, you know, because you can't build a company or even a nation, and then you have a mortality rate in the 50s. I tell corporates, I mean, you want to compete internationally? Germany is thinking of increasing the pension age to 70, and your people are dead for 20 years. I mean, what productivity increase are you considering? So there is, I can see a lot of corporates have health weeks now. The thing is, they don't know what to do. They know that healthy food is key, and of course, also exercise. But then where are the parks to exercise? You know, a lot of things come together. We have picked the diet. I think food is at the beginning of a lot of things. But there will be a tremendous shift in the next couple of years. I can see it already. 10 years ago, nobody was talking about food, you know, and now people are realizing how important it is. And everybody here in Africa has an uncle and auntie that has blood pressure, that needs a kidney dialysis, and that can wreck a family at once, you know, because we don't have the hospitals. Everything is imported. It's incredibly expensive. You don't want to deal with dialysis in Africa. So they know they have to eat healthier. So it's just for me a matter of, offering these alternatives, getting big enough so more people can be aware. And then ultimately, it will, once we reach the critical momentum, it will happen, you know, because I don't see a good outcome if we just keep on doing it the same old ways. I doubt it, you know?
Yeah, and this is what I speak about quite often with my colleagues, is that the old ways have brought us to this point. There's a need for a shift in terms of how we think about how we want to invest as investors, how we want to actually engage other stakeholders. What are the important verticals to invest in? Like you were saying, Hakeem, that food is often overlooked, and it forms the foundation of our lives, what we all eat each day. And these are the subjects and the verticals that are really important to speak about with policymakers, with investors, with customers, and with companies all together, because it's the only way that we can start to change the narrative of what it means to invest, not only as an impact investor, but as an investor in general. What I always hope for finance and investing is that all investors can become impact investors, because every single area has an impact on our daily lives, especially in the African continent, right? And so this is the first step here, to see how interconnected all of these areas are in terms of health, in terms of food, and also for investors to see the interconnectedness of how they invest and who the end consumer is, and the ripple effects of the investment also. So how do you see the future of the industry in terms of scaling? You said for the distribution channels, that's quite a challenge. What are the ways that you feel that that can become easier for you as an entrepreneur and as a company to be able to scale not only within Nigeria, but across the African continent and internationally as well?
Yeah, I think it's still, the alternative protein is still a young industry globally also. Even though products or ways to do it exist for hundreds, thousands of years, it's a question of definition. But the way we're doing it now, this meat analogs that really mimic meat, it's relatively new also in the awareness. So we are dealing here with the fast-moving consumer goods industry. And there are some rules in it, you know. So for me, it's clear, if it's an FMCG product and we want to reach the mass market, because there's no impact without scale, we need some certain mechanisms, you know. And it's clear. Somebody said, if you pump enough money into marketing, you can sell anything, you know. So definitely what that tells me is we need a bigger war chest. Because if your product is going to be in every village, you need this distribution resources. So there's no way around either growing to that level that you can do it yourself. But it's investments, strategic partnerships. There are some big players. I think we have seen it in other industries already, that formerly big stakeholders, let's say the fossil industry, which is reminds me often of the alternative protein. You know, everybody knows today that fossil fuels is the past. You know, there is no good outcome here. So we are looking at renewable energies. Same for me is the meat industry. There's we are probably a few decades behind that, but it's going to be the same thing. If you want to have a biodiversity, like it was discussed in Montreal, you cannot have factory farming. It's the opposite. There will be probably alliances between big dinosaurs of the past, but who have that distribution network, because it is critical if you're dealing with consumers. Yeah, and then we'll see how the investments is going. Can some alternative proteins do it themselves, or do they need to align? It really depends also on the market. Yeah, I mean, it's not, in that aspect, it's not rocket science, because there are known ways how to reach the consumers.
Yes, and it really just takes time. I think often in the impact industry, it takes the conversations like we're having today to be able to understand all different aspects and facets of the challenge we're facing and the time horizon. And this is why it's so important to be able to speak about the multi-stakeholder initiatives that we have to create to be able to have the conversations to accelerate the progress in the industry, right? Because if one side of the industry is very much focused, like you said, on maybe maintaining factory farming, and then we want to really have a type of acceleration in alternative protein, it's going to be quite difficult. And then if the health industry is connected to this acceleration, it's even more difficult, right? And so it really takes all of these stakeholders being able to work together to have the conversations to really amplify the message. And this is what we're so excited to focus on in our ImpactVest Alliance here, that we have the CEO Roundtable on the 18th of January. And we'll be speaking about all of these different subjects. It's very important for me to be able to have the conversations so that investors can really understand what it actually takes to be a sustainability and impact investor. It really involves knowing all of the different facets of the conversation and understanding the challenge and how complex the challenge we're speaking about, right? But we're here, right? We're able to really see the future of alternative proteins, and we're able to see the pathway towards building a sustainable future, right? And it kind of just takes the conversations to get there. It was really a pleasure to have you on the podcast today, Hakeem. And I hope, and I am visiting Lagos, that I can eat some V chunks and be able to eat in your restaurant also, if you still have it open. And it would really be a pleasure. And I wish you a very, very holiday.
Yes, thank you. Really enjoyed this conversation. It's very important. It's part of the process, letting more people know about it. And we'll get there, definitely.
Well, thank you very much, Hakeem.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the ImpactVest podcast, Transformative Global Innovation in a New Era of Impact. Join us next week for another episode and become part of our ImpactVest newsletter community, where you will receive all of the latest updates about our work in this new era of innovative impact finance. See you next week as we create the future of finance at ImpactVest.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.